Yeah, I too want to bring Christian greetings to each one and welcome everyone to this part of the service. It's been a blessing to be here, and a time of singing and prayer is especially meaningful today. We are at the beginning of another year, and I often have to think that I have to think thoughts, I guess. I'm going to ask you, front bench people, something. What do you have today that you didn't have yesterday? In fact, everybody does. Everybody has something today that you didn't have yesterday. Well, that's right. But you have never had this before. Today. That's right. Exactly right. You have today, and it won't be here tomorrow. And you'll never have it again. It's brand new. It's something that we can use it or abuse it. We have an opportunity, a today, that you won't have again. I mean, you might have similar opportunities, but you'll never have today again. So I would like to think this morning about the finger of God. What did God use his finger for? Anybody? He wrote on the wall, okay? What else? Okay, he wrote on the tables of stone. Think of how strong that finger must be. My finger would wear out and it wouldn't even make a mark. But it says he wrote those. And you know, that must have been quite an experience to do that. And I'd like to, because we have extra time this morning, I'm going to ask you to read. We'll do some Bible reading here. But I would like to turn to Exodus chapter 19 to start with. And I'd like for us to read this. I'm going to read two verses, one in Exodus 31, verse 18. And it says, and he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him on Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. And the Lord delivered me unto me two tables of stone. Again, the same account recounted in Deuteronomy 9, verse 10. It says, he delivered unto me two tables of stone written with the finger of God. And on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount, out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. Now in Exodus chapter 19, verse 3, I'm going to start reading here. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob, and to the and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me and above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the Lord of the people unto the Lord. Now, there's a couple of things very significant in here. For one thing is that the Lord tells the people, or he tells Moses, what he should say to the people of Israel. And his promise is very It's really, really pretty special when he says that if you will obey my voice, then you're going to be a peculiar people. And that means not just strange, but it means a very special people. And he reminds them of what he did to the Egyptians. There they came up against the Red Sea. They were in the middle. They were in a very, very difficult place. And by God's words, he says, I bear you on eagle's wings. Now, we don't read anything about eagles that I know about in the crossing of the Red Sea. But we know that his deliverance was very miraculous and significant. And he likens it as being carried by eagle's wings there. And I brought you unto myself. I know there's some typology in there as well. But I'm going to leave that part for now. But he says, the earth is mine, but you're going to be a special people unto me if you obey my voice. And you're going to be a kingdom of priests and holy nation. And the people said that all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And that was their response to what the Lord had spoken to them through Moses. So far, so good. And then in verse 16, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings, and in a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether in a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in a fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down and charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord and to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds upon the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said, away, get thee down, thou shalt come up, and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through the camp to come to the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down to the people and spake unto them. Here the Lord had given specific instructions that they were not to come close to the mount, and that they neither did they want to, actually, because of the great fire and noise and all that. But can you just imagine that when they saw that whole mountain just covered with fire and smoke and lightning? Some of you like thunderstorms, but most of us do not like to be close to where lightning strikes and where there's thunder crashing, and we'd like to find shelter and get out of the way. And the sound of a trumpet that gets louder and louder the first Wednesday morning of every month, Seymour has its fire sirens going. And as that siren is turned toward Jamco, it gets loud. It gets unbearable if it would stay there very long, but it turns, and so it doesn't stay too long. But I can imagine that would be a sound that Israel had heard that was getting louder and louder. It just kind of melts you down a little bit. And makes so that you can't think, you can't really operate. Well, I think that's what the people were experiencing here on Mount Sinai when the Lord was coming, that there's a voice, the sound of a trumpet, it became louder and louder, and it was just bearing down on them, and they were became helpless in that. Now, if you will, turn to chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, and I'd like to look at a few chapters here, and here's where we'd like to read. And so we're going to start, we'll start in the back in this time. And, you know, when I start with the youngsters up front, we say, read so the people in the back can hear. I know I don't have to say that to the people in the back. They'll read loud enough so that you can hear. So we'll start with Ed back there. And start reading with verse 1 of chapter 5, and we'll read this entire chapter. And let's read 3 verses at a time. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, let's stop there. Okay, I intended for us to read all the way across so the ladies could have a chance to read too, but we didn't. But I'm gonna ask you to stand when you read if you can. If you don't want to read, just pass. But we'll do the next chapter like that. But stopping here for a moment, there's some really significant things in this chapter. One is that it does list the commandments. What is the first commandment, by the way? Anybody? That's what the Bible says, isn't it? But that's not what it says here. What's the first one here? Excuse me? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. And, I thought it was so interesting that it says when the scribe asked Jesus, what is the first and great commandment? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Well, he was making it practical in a sense that the words that were written in stone probably weren't quite as clear. Thou shalt have no other gods before me is the same thing, isn't it? Thou shalt. God is first. And we love what's first. That comes just naturally. But Jesus put words to it that we can understand in a very real way. But And so he goes on and lists all those things. But in verse 29, it says, verse 28 and 29, it says, oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Moses at this point is recounting. This is not things that are happening live. They're not things that are happening right now. I mean, as he's saying, this is what has happened in the past. And he's just bringing to mind, in Deuteronomy, he's bringing to mind how it was back then. And he's just, they had the wilderness experience behind them, and he's just remembering this. But they're now getting ready to enter into Canaan. And they're at the doors of Canaan, I should say it this way. The wilderness experience is not reflected in what he's saying here. But they're ready to enter, and this is what he's telling them. And now let's read chapter 6, and again we'll start in the back. And we'll start on the outside there and read to the center. And if you don't want to read, you can pass. But I would like for you to stand. It's a little hard for me to hear. And read three verses at a time.
Yeah.
Okay, I really enjoy this chapter as well because of the fact that he's promising some of the things. He's given them a taste of some of the things that they will experience in this land. And then he says, when all of these good things, when you're enjoying all of these good things, these good blessings, and then he says, beware lest you forget. Now, how possible is that? When you're in the middle of enjoying good things and you forget. You know, that is so true to human nature, isn't it? We're enjoying good things and we forget where those blessings come from. Now, you know, we came together today and some of us had a little bit of a different time getting there. I didn't have the car, the truck up close to where the house was, and so I put my boots on to go get the truck and bring it up so we could walk out. And it was just a little bit more difficult than what it is to just walk out to the garage and get into the car and drive to church. But it's warm here, and it's easy to forget all the difficulties that have brought us to this place, in this place in time. There were many sacrifices that were made, great sacrifices by people before us that made this possible. But as we were here, we all brought Bibles. We brought them, and we're reading out of them. And that's something that the people back there didn't have. They didn't have, they may have had some of the written word, but they didn't have very much of it, and certainly not a personal possession that they could look to and read. But Moses is there, and so we can use this to remind us that, we can read this and be reminded of what to do, what is right, and so on. But they didn't. And so for us, these words are for us. When we're experiencing the good things, then to beware lest you forget what the Lord has done. And that finger of God that wrote on those tables of stone, and Moses put them in the ark, you know, I really wonder what that looked like. I don't know if they're hidden away someplace that the Lord is going to reveal them sometime before eternity or not. But that part doesn't actually really matter. What does matter is that we apply them to our life. Now, let's skip the next two chapters, or let's go to chapter 9. Chapter 8 tells about their wilderness experience and how the Lord led them through there to try their hearts and to see if they would keep his commandments and so on. But in chapter 9, I'd like to start reading here with verse 1. It's full of it here now. So let's start over here on the men's side and let's read all the way across. I think Brian... And then let's just go back and forth across there. Three verses, yes.
Understand
Okay, thank you for reading that. So this is a little different picture than it was in chapter 5 and 6. Here we have God plainly saying that it's not because of your righteousness. In other words, we had read earlier that, you know, if they obey, they'll be a very special people, a peculiar people, there'll be a kingdom of priests, and so on. But through their wilderness wanderings, they soon showed that their heart was not with God in that sense. And so now they're again getting ready to enter Canaan and cross the Jordan, and he's telling them, it's not because of you that you have this opportunity. It's not because of your righteousness, but it's because of the covenant that he made with Abraham and that promise that he made that he would bring his people into this land. This is why he's doing it. And so he's again referencing the commandments that he made. And Moses talks about being in the mount there for 40 days and 40 nights, 40 days without food or water, tremendous experience. And then he comes down from the mount and he finds them already deeply in sin, and he breaks the tablets of stone. In the next chapter, the Lord tells him to make two more tablets. But then in the next chapter, it also says that the Lord did the writing on those tables, but Moses had made the tablets. And so the thing that I would like to think about is the fact that important things that we do are written in stone. We have monuments and things that are written in stone for important things to remember. And God wrote the tables of stone. He used his finger and wrote those important things down. But today, there is another covenant that is not written in stone, but it's written in our hearts. And I appreciated so much the thoughts that Brian shared in devotions this morning about reflecting Christ in everyday life, not just in the abstract, but in the real and the things that happen day to day. Hebrews 8, verse 8, for finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this covenant will I make with the house of Israel and with the house after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. This has been increasingly precious to me as I think about that. God writing his laws on our hearts, where there's an inner response to what God wants. It's not just simply following the code that's written, but it's having his law in our hearts and being reflective of his personality and of his goodness. Jesus, earlier we had talked about the fact that somebody asked Jesus, what is the great commandment? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So all the things that were contained, all the details, all the words that Moses had given Israel in those days they're all contained in these two commandments. Love the Lord with all our heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. I think it's so significant. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm impressed with that short sentence. I will build my church. And in our language, the longer words seem to be more important. But in that short sentence, there's five words. And the shorter the sentence, the shorter the word, the more important it is. I. My is the second. I has one letter. My has two letters. Will has four letters. Build has five letters. Church has six letters. And the order of importance is just in that line. Jesus is the most important. My is what is his personal possession. The church is very important. But it's not about us, it's about him. And that's what he was telling Israel. They missed it back then. They still do. They feel like many times it's all about them. And sometimes as a church we think maybe it's all about us too, but it isn't. It's about him. And so when we are reflecting his image and his characteristics in our lives, that's when we know that law is no longer just a stone that's written by the finger of God, but it's the finger of God in our heart, and it's written there. And so let's follow him and be one of his disciples there and now. Let's bow our heads for prayer.